You are very welcome to Captain Murph's Cancer Kicking Podcast, the factual, chronological, and indeed real life story of Dunchoklin-based Irishman Aidan Murphy, and how he is currently dealing with, but more importantly, fighting his inoperable cancer. From piloting helicopters to flying hot air balloons, and being the first aviator in the world licensed to do both, since, I might add, after being permanently blinded in one eye at the tender age of 5. Take it from me, Aidan's podcasts are definitely ones worth tuning into. Thank you for your time, and enjoy.
Hello everybody, you're very welcome along to my next podcast. It's Take It Tuesday, my toxic day. Well, I call it Take It Tuesday, it's better than toxic. So what happens today? Well, this is what my podcast is all about. Sit back and enjoy. I used to call it my toxic Tuesday because to me, chemo or chemotherapy, to give it its proper name, is a toxin because it kills things in my body. Okay, as we know, it kills the cancer, but it kills other things as well. And my first experience of chemotherapy for the last, up to 3 weeks ago, for the last 9 or 10 months was not pleasant. It puts my mind in a horrible place. Demons would come into it. I would feel depressed in 1 minute, happy the next. Really, really crazy stuff. Hence my toxic Tuesday. Until a good friend of mine, Anna, pointed out, and she goes, Aidan, you know what? It's not that toxic. Well, it is toxic, but you shouldn't be knocking the chemo. It's here to help you. We know it's unpleasant, but it's here for the better good. It's here to fix things. Not break things totally. And Anna is right. So I no longer call it my toxic Tuesday. I call it my take it Tuesday. I take it to my body, but I take up the bad and the good and the ugly with it. So I take it all. Take it on the chin, and the payback, please God, is that, you know, the cancer loses and I win at the end of the day. So what does a Take It Tuesday do, or what's it all about? Well, I'm recording this in my podcast studio at home, shall we say. And it's now, what, coming up on 8:45 on Tuesday morning. So at 9:30 my doorbell will ring, and my very kind-hearted sister-in-law, as the other kind-hearted I might add before I start to row on the Ryan family, my very kind-hearted sister-in-law Margaret would pick me up and drive me into the Bonsecure Private Hospital in Dublin, which will take all of perhaps 20 minutes, a half an hour to do. And once I'm there, I'll go through the doors, walk straight through the doors up to the second floor, and walk through an oncology day unit, or rather, I'll stop at the entrance to it, and I'll meet the lovely Karen, the receptionist. And Karen is going to have a beautiful smile in her face, and she's going to be really bubbly, and she's going to say, Aidan, how are you? As if I met her yesterday or was good friends with her throughout the last few years. That's the welcome, that's the hidden part that maybe even the staff don't appreciate in the Bonsecure. But that homely, passionate welcome, I'll call her, even compassionate welcome, it makes things so much easier for the next 2 hours that I'm going to be there. So the first order of the day is that I'll get weighed. My chemo drugs, although they're medically chosen, the quantity I get is weight over balance, a bit like flying balloons, if you like. So obviously the higher the weight I am, the more per kilogram of infusion I'll be given, or will be allotted to me. Plus the fact that's one reason. The second reason is medically they need to know whether I'm losing weight, gaining weight, or staying the same. And to be fair, I need to know that as well. Yeah, that's very important. But I'm going to let them into a little secret. I actually weigh myself every Tuesday before I go up, and we have this little innocent game on the scales, as you do. guess the weight of Aidan. Of course, Aidan just got his weight an hour and a half ago and or an hour ago and Shackleton at the latest. The sad part is, or the geeky part is, my own weighing scales is Wi-Fi connected, would you believe? So when I stand on my scales, it actually recognises me as being the person on it because it knows my weight range, give or take, I think just a discrepancy of possibly 10-15%. And once it weighs me, it communicates with my home Wi-Fi network. It uploads it to a central server on a specific website that deals with that makes the weighing scales and feeds it back via an app to my iPhone. So I have a full graph for the last, believe it or not, 4 or 5 years on my weight. So that's the geeky part out of the way. And so weighing is the first part of the operation this morning. Once the weighing is out of the way, that's when if I'm going to get butterflies in my stomach, that's when they come, because I know it's find Aidan's veins time after that, or find one of Aidan's veins. They got to get a vein and they got to get blood out of it. And then when they get the blood out of it, it has to go for analysis. There's a machine on the oncology ward unit which will do it systematically and automatically by itself. But then it goes to a real live human in their lab department, their pathology department, which gives it a second reading, just to be sure, because these readings are very important. So my bloods, as I said, are red first. And what we're looking for is a very high, or a reasonably high, white blood cell count. Because white blood cells are good. They protect me. They protect you as well. They protect us all against infections. Chemo kills white blood cells, which makes me more susceptible to infection. So the blood taken from my vein is the first thing that has to be done, and it goes off and gets checked. But the fun part is finding the vein. To any oncology patients listening to this, they'll realise that, or they'll be asking the question, Aidan, why haven't you got a port installed? A port is like a little cushion under your chest, which is installed under general anaesthetic, and it's got a small little duct, if you like, going to your jugular vein, and that finds the vein forever. So no longer, if you had that installed, that port installed, no longer do these people have to find a vein for me. They just puncture this little cushion under my chest and the drug goes intravenously via a little tube into my jugular, and we're all done and dusted. But Murphy's Law being what it is, I had my port installed when I got sick initially, and my body rejected it. So my vein has to be found. And guess what? Chemotherapy collapses veins, believe it or not. So as if it wasn't hard enough. Now, I don't mind a pinprick here and there, but we could be talking four goes, five goes, maybe even six. And it's no fault of the nurses and the nursing staff up there. They're doing their best. They're experts at what they do. Let me reassure you on that. But when the vein doesn't exist, it doesn't exist. Over the past few weeks, I've been lucky. It's been taken get it in first go, maybe get it, find my vein in the second go, definitely in the third. It's a bad day if it happens on the fourth go. Sometimes the needles hurt quite a lot, I'll be honest. And I know I'm a big boy and I don't look at them going in, but they can hurt a lot. And then I'm saying to myself, you take it obviously in the chin, but you don't know whether that hurting has actually paid off and the vein has been found. It could be go again in 10 seconds and we're going to start hurting you again. So it's not nice. It's not that it's horrible, it's unpleasant, but you got to suck it up and you got to take it. Because once the vein is found, it means the chemo can go in. And once the chemo can go in, it can start attacking my enemy, my nemesis. I promise I won't say the B word on my podcast. I might blog it, but I won't say it. And if I do, I apologize in advance. So once the vein's found properly, a cannula goes in, which means it's a semi-permanent, call it a valve if you like, or a needle in my arm. That can be a secondary needle, can be, or a tube or a line can be connected or disconnected at will from the same puncture wound in my veins. We're not finding veins for every particular option or function that we need this morning. So it's found once with a bit of pain, hopefully. Well, sorry, unhopefully with a bit of pain, but found once, hopefully. And then the bloods are taken for my blood count. They're going to have to get checked. For example, last week they were quite low. It was borderline whether I got my chemo. Remember, the chemo would pull it down even further. And I could have an infection before I even get home to Dunshaughlin. That's how bad it can be. And that's how careful, to be fair, the nurses and the oncology people in the bonds have to be. For people like me, not just me. So that's what we do. Get the veins found, get the bloods right. And if they're right, the chemo will flow. So what exactly flows into me? I'm currently on two different drugs. One after the other, they're putting like a drip bag, just like a saline solution, which incidentally goes in first to flush the lines out and clear my veins. And then, as I said, chemo bag number one goes in. Sorry, I tell a lie. Anti-sickness bag number one goes in. The magic drug that means I don't, please God, touch wood, don't vomit, don't get sick. That's important. That saves a lot of energy. And it boosts your confidence when things aren't going well in the head department. So I don't get sick, touch wood. That's all because of drug number one that goes in. It's sugar, and it also sugarcoats organs that have to be protected, that the chemo isn't allowed to go near, or shouldn't go near. Then drug number two goes in, or bag number two. That's chemo number one. And then bag number three, chemo number two, that goes in. So the whole thing can take anything from 2 hours, 2.5, maybe 3 hours. It all depends how busy they are. If you can visualize the oncology unit being an extremely clean, large room, possibly 60 foot by 20 feet, with possibly, 5 or 6 chairs, leather reclining automated chairs with privacy curtains all around if needed, and each with their own colour TV. Sounds like a hotel, I know, or a 5-star dentist, but you know you're in the oncology unit. And I'll be honest, folks, for the first 3 or 4 visits there, it's not pleasant, the sensation in your mind, because what goes through my mind, and I'm sure it goes through other people's minds that are sick as well, I'm here for a reason. I'm looking at other people getting their cancer treatment. I'm getting it too, because I have cancer, I'm not well, and there's no guarantee I'm going to get better, but I have to try. So that does go through your mind, there's no surer thing. And it's probably obvious as the day is long that it should go through my mind. You can't blank these things out, because if you do, you have to deal with them later on. So that goes through my mind, but as I said, for the last 6 or 7 months, I probably get more akin to it. I was going to say more immune to it. And of course, it does help when you know the staff. And to be fair to the Bonsie Cure, you get to know the staff in hours or even minutes, not days or weeks. And of course, one of my best friends or close friends, Jackie Caldwell, one of the senior staff nurses in the oncology unit up there, who's advice I hang on every syllable for or two when she gives it to me, because Jackie's experience in this department is second to none. I'm sure she's there longer than most of the oncology professors or even doctors that are there, and that's something we're thinking about. So the oncology is flowing. I'm lying back, I'm semi-reclined. Depending on how my blood levels are, it will depend whether I get tired during it or not. I can nod off for a sleep. If that happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I try not to be honest, which because I want to sleep when I come home. And as I said, 2.5-3 years later, I'm done and dusted. The infusions are done. I've been fed and watered, as has my minder or any person that's brought me in. We've got unlimited tea, coffee, freshly cut sandwiches, soups, you name it. And to be honest with you, to present it to you. It probably takes the sting out of the tail when I get the weekly statement from my health insurer, which says it's just cost €1,000 or €1,100 to treat me last week and the week before and the week before that as well. So healthcare is not free in Ireland, as we all know. Of course, the chemo is given and I'm being checked out every 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, because it is an open plan floor unit. You know, hi Aidan, are you okay? How are you feeling? Is that going down okay? Would you like a tea, a coffee? Myra Wood, one of the health care professionals, staff up there, who I jokingly say it, but I say it in tongue in cheek because I mean it. Myra practically runs that place from a healthcare perspective. She knows everybody by their first name. She knows how many sugars to put in my coffee, how hot it should be, how cold the soup should be. And all done with the biggest smile you can you can muster or you can see. And people like Myra, as I said before in my blogs, every oncology unit needs a Myra, and Myra would. And I think the Bon Secure are lucky because they have one. And please God, she'll be there for a while yet. But she's been an absolute lady to me and picked me up when I've been down. As probably only Myra can do, as our friends and staff would probably testify to also. So come at 12:30, 1 o'clock, maybe 1:15, depending on how busy the staff are, my last infusion of chemo is given. The needles are taken out and I'm told, right, Aidan, see you next week, all going well. Of course, what could happen, and it might happen today, my blood levels when they're taken initially, as I explained earlier in this podcast, could be too low and treatment will not be given. And when that happens, it's a downer, to be fair. I'm all psyched up to get it. I want it. I need it. My body needs it. My tumour needs it. But if the blood cells are low, or the white count is low, I should say, it's not going to happen. So that is always an option every week. And it could very well be an option this morning because my bloods were low all week. I was feeling extremely tired all week. And you know what? You know your own body better than everybody else. But hey, let's look at the bright side. Let's say we're going to go for it this morning. And please God, it'll all work out. So that's a day of my chemo, or a morning of when I get my chemo. People on chemo, similar to me, will understand that. If you're new to the whole concept of listening to people talking about their cancer or want to know more, well, I hope I've educated you or filled in some blanks. Remember, chemotherapy is a range of a lot of drugs. What you get is what's important to you and nobody else. So, fingers crossed for later on. Hopefully it'll all work out. In the meantime, let's hit this button here and see what happens.
Stay connected with Aidan by heading over to his website, aidanmurphy.com. From there, book Aidan to give an inspiring motivational talk to your workplace, college or club. Read his popular blog, tune into his podcasts, follow him on Twitter and LinkedIn, or simply catch up with him on Facebook. AidanMurphy.com, a real inspiring home in a virtual world.
So there we have it. Another podcast in the can. I hope I'm getting a little bit better at this. Onwards and upwards, as we say. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Wish me luck later on at the chemo. Hopefully the veins will be found. Until next time, all the very best. And remember, to catch up with me, AidanMurphy.com is the place to be. Bye for now.